Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my good friend Stephen Garchar.
Hey, Phil, how are you doing this evening?
Real good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's always good to be back with you here on Sunday evening.
Always awesome.
Preaching and teaching God's Word.
Woo!
Hallelujah, brother.
Can I get an amen?
Amen. You get one from me anyway.
Yeah, I was teaching a group last week, and everybody kind of was sitting there looking blankly at me, and I said, am I the only one who thinks this is awesome? But anyway, it's always awesome to be here on Sunday night. And last week, we did a show about the presentation in the temple with Simeon the prophet, and mentioned about how Jesus, Yeshua, subjects himself to the covenant, that he, as God, made with the people. Now he subjects himself to that covenant. And tonight we're going to talk about something a little different, because when Mary and Joseph were in the temple, they heard Simeon say how this was the glory of Israel, the light to the Gentiles, the salvation, now I can die, all these things. And then something kind of weird happens that probably makes them think, gee, we got to get out of here.
Yeah.
And what we're going to talk about is what's commonly called the flight into Egypt, because it's kind of not really talked about very much. And after you hear Simeon's words, you think like this baby would just rise up through the ranks and everybody would come to faith and everybody would just be all excited.
Right.
And
they're not.
No, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 2. We haven't read from Matthew for a long time. A
couple weeks.
Yeah. Anyway, why don't you go ahead and read, Steve, about the flight into Egypt. This starts at verse 13.
It starts at 13, yeah. Yeah, obviously before that, the wise men are there and they pay Jesus homage, but they're warned in a dream not to return to Herod, because Herod asked them, well, mm-hmm. You guys go search for the child. Let me know where he's at, because I want to go pay him homage too, but we all know that that's not what his real intent was. So they departed for their country by another way. And in verse 13 it says, when they had departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, flee to Egypt, and stay there until I tell you. Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him. Joseph rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. He stayed there until the death of Herod, that what the Lord had said through the prophet might be fulfilled. Out of Egypt I called my son.
Whew. Yes. That's an interesting passage. Interestingly, if any of my friends from St. Mark's Coptic Church in Seven Hills are listening, this is a very exciting thing for our Egyptian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. In fact, if you go to their church, which is really a cool place, they have a whole display about where Mary, Joseph, and little Jesus would have been in Egypt. And yeah, with the thing of, you know, with the quoting, out of Egypt I've called my son. Mm-hmm. And they're very proud of that. And
oh, yeah,
it's kind of neat. So this was kind of a different situation now. Now you get down into the sort of human troubles that Jesus as man is also going to be subjected to.
Yeah.
Mary and Joseph have been subjected to him. He's subjected to him even when he's a baby, a toddler. We don't know how old he is here or mm-hmm. when it exactly happened. But Herod was infuriated by this.
Yeah.
As you said, you know, the Magi came and he's puts on this false, oh, let me know where he is so I can go pay him homage too.
When you think about it, as we talked a few weeks ago, the Magi come in and say, we want to do him homage. Now they're talking to Herod, who's a king.
Yeah.
But they don't say, hey, we want to pay you homage. We're not going to bow down before you, Herod. But this baby Jesus, mm-hmm. the king of the Jews, the newborn king of the Jews, we want to pay him homage and we want to worship him.
Mm-hmm.
That infuriated Herod.
Yes. Yes.
And to find out actually in the next two verses when, you know, it says, when Herod realized that he had been deceived by the Magi, he became furious. Mm-hmm. He ordered the massacre of all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity, 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time he had ascertained from the Magi, you know, that they had been traveling, searching for this newborn child.
Sure.
So this, as you said, this infuriated him. He was filled with rage and anger, and he just wanted to wipe out this newborn king of the Jews.
Yeah, and it made him even madder, I'm sure, that they didn't come back like they were supposed to.
Mm-hmm.
It says they went back to their country by a different way.
Right.
They took like a different interstate rather than going back through Jerusalem. And so now he's really mad.
Yeah.
And he wanted to find out where the child was for sinister purposes.
Right.
He tried to disguise it like he was going to go worship him too. Mm-hmm. And as we pointed out during that show about the Magi, nobody went with him.
Right.
The religious leaders didn't go. The political leaders didn't go. Nobody went.
Just
the Magi. The Magi weren't interested particularly in hanging out with Herod. They weren't particularly interested in hanging out with the religious leaders. They didn't want the tour of the temple. They didn't want to go to the visitor center. They wanted to find the Messiah.
Right.
They wanted to find where this baby was. And I think all around those people were upset because they were being ignored for something that they didn't even know anything about.
Right.
And so here's the God man as a baby. And now all of a sudden he needs to be protected. He needs to be protected from this human king who's mad, but has power. Mm-hmm. And as we were talking about as we were talking about at the end of last week's show, Jesus is always a division. He's a division today.
Mm-hmm.
You could be in Northern Ohio in 2016 and somebody starts talking about Jesus and right away, two different camps develop.
Exactly.
He's always a source of division. A house divided against itself. You know, people say, and the other side says, oh, but he's the Messiah. He's the Lord. Oh, that's ridiculous. Blah, 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 blah. There's always division.
Mm-hmm.
And so now the political entity wants to put to death this, what they perceive as a threat.
Mm-hmm.
Later on at the crucifixion, the religious leaders plot to kill him because he's a threat to them.
Yep.
There's always a division. And before, When he was in the stable or whatever it was, and there's this time before the Magi came, and we don't know exactly during that time, everything was kind of obscure.
Yeah.
So he was protected by the fact that he was obscure. Now, all of a sudden, everybody knows something's happened.
Right.
Especially Herod. So although as Messiah, as the baby God-man, he should have been honored and praised and worshiped, but he's already a source of division.
Mm-hmm.
He's already, well, as Simeon said, you know, he's responsible for the rise and fall of many in Israel.
Yeah.
Things aren't going to go well for Herod.
He's really rejected and outcast.
That's right. That's right. Herod has political power. He has a lot of pride. He's not particularly religious.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't seem to know anything about any prophecies.
No.
But now, the kingdom's broken into the world. As John Wimber used to say, when Jesus is born, the kingdom breaks into the world, which is pretty neat.
Right.
In a very real physical way. And now Herod has to kind of deal with this. And lest you think that we're a lot different from Herod and we don't do things like that, we like to keep our life the way it is too.
Yeah, we do. I mean, you can go to any church, any denomination, and if you came in there and, you know, had the inspiration to do something different, with, you know, hopefully it was by the Holy Spirit, would, you know, if Jesus came back today, really would we recognize him and see him? A lot of people think, oh yeah, I would know it. I would, but you know, we're looking at scripture from the lens of 2,000 years of history, of 2,000 years of study and church mm-hmm. teaching and history. But if you look at your day-to-day life and trying to discern what is God calling me to do, where is he calling me to go, those types of things, we have to be honest with ourselves and realize that I might not exactly. recognize this. I might not react the way that I think I would.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really a call for us to, you know, when we read about this and reflect on it, to really ask God for the ability, the grace to see through eyes of faith,
mm-hmm.
you know, to see really through his eyes,
mm-hmm.
to give us that spiritual sight and wisdom to know and recognize, God, how are you prompting me, you know, through your Holy Spirit here? How are you guiding me here?
Mm-hmm.
Because it's very important that we do that so that we work with God's will, with his covenant, and not against it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we can easily be on the opposite side.
Mm-hmm.
We can easily work against God and not even realize that we're doing that.
That's right. And that's a good approach from sort of a spiritual person who's trying to do what he's supposed to do. From Herod's point of view, we're like that too, because we want to keep our lifestyle the way it is. We want to keep our job the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
We want to keep our, you know, personal things the way they are.
Right.
We prefer to have our money, our entertainment.
We want to get things comfortable.
I don't want things threatened. I don't want my comfort threatened.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that's more important to most of us than the kingdom is.
Mm-hmm.
Because the kingdom might tell us to do something different. You know, in Luke chapter 9, you know, Jesus says, you know what? You want to wait to bury your father? Go ahead, but you're not coming with me.
Mm-hmm.
You want to go say bye to everybody at home? Well, you lose. You want to start plowing, but then you look back to what you were doing before? You can't be my disciple.
Right.
You want to worry about your mother more than me? You can't be my disciple. So, I mean, these are very serious things. And those things, of course, he's using those as an example. He wants
right.
you to worry about your mother, and he wants you to take care of things. But he's pointing out that he's the important thing.
Right.
And we don't want attention diverted away from ourselves. Herod certainly didn't want people talking about a newborn king of the Jews. He was the king of the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if there's another king, this isn't going to be good.
Right.
Because I'm the king.
Right.
And so, you know, he doesn't want to give glory to some other king, because
mm-hmm.
he's the king.
Right.
You know, most people don't want to give glory to somebody else because they want to keep their own stuff the way it is.
Yeah.
If your guy at work who sits next to you gets a promotion or gets a raise or gets a bonus and you don't, you know, mm-hmm. it's hard to say, hey, Joe, I'm really glad for you. You deserve that. It's really awesome. You think, man, I can't believe he got that money, and I didn't.
Yeah.
I can't believe that.
I didn't deserve that. He deserved it.
I do more stuff than he does.
Yeah.
Because that's
our human nature.
Yeah. And that's how we live. And so imagine Herod. I mean, when you're a king, that gets magnified. And we don't want that kind of threat to our lifestyle.
Right.
The Pharisees had it too. What's this guy talking about? What do you mean?
We're the priest.
We're the holy guys.
Yeah.
Who the heck is he? He's a nobody from no place.
Right.
Look at these guys he's hanging around with.
Mm-hmm.
And look at the cool stuff we're wearing.
I mean, you see it all throughout Scripture where the human element, the humanity of our thinking just comes into it, and we don't see, we don't discern, we don't act in accordance with God's will. Even when, you know, when Moses, when the Holy Spirit was falling on the 72 elders, and Joshua says, hey, Moses, these two guys outside the camp are prophesying, we got to stop them.
Yeah.
Moses says, no.
Yeah.
I wish everybody had the gift.
That's
you know,
right.
Because it would be a lot better.
Joshua's very devoted to Moses.
Yeah.
I mean, you've probably been in situations, I've been in situations many times where somebody in a similar way, parallel story, says, hey, pastor, how come that guy from that other church is doing this?
Mm-hmm.
We're supposed to be doing this.
Right.
We thought the people in that other church were all screwed up. Look at that. How come they're doing that?
How can they know what you're doing,
That's
Lord?
Right.
We're supposed to know what you're doing.
Right.
Yeah, we can all get into that spiritual pride that really dampens what God's doing.
Yeah.
It really stifles what God's doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, we can be like Herod, too, because we can do that kind of deceitful lip service, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, you know, Sunday, I guess I'll go, because, you know, I want to go pray, and I want to go to the service, and, oh, brother, I wonder how long it's going to last, and, What time does it, what time's it start again? And, you know, or it's like, well, you know, I'd like to go, but I don't have time for that stuff.
Yeah.
I'm busy all week and I'm sleeping in or I'm going to the other place. And we do the same sort of thing.
Gosh, I hope people don't say that when I'm singing.
Yeah, I hope not. You know, the rest of the week, you know, the rest of the week, what are these people doing? The last thing they're thinking about mm-hmm. is God.
Yeah.
But on Sunday morning, like, well, I guess I could go. I don't know. Well, yeah. You know, it's kind of like Herod. Yeah, you know, I'm going to go after all Sunday. Yeah. Same kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And people are interested in their personal life and the personal things going on, the work things going on, the things going on with their families, but they're not really interested in having prayer time, having time where they're worshiping, having time where they're studying the scriptures, having time where they're working on their spiritual life. I mean, during the week, most people don't really want to get into that stuff. They just give it some lip service on Sunday morning and then say, okay, now let's go to brunch.
Yeah, our world's become a very busy place, and we fill up our time with all of our technology and all of our gadgetry. And,
yeah.
And you know, it's those things can be used for good purposes,
mm-hmm.
but they can also become, they can rob us of the time that God has plans for us to do other things with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we all face that. We all have to figure that out
yes.
as we go through our day-to-day lives. Am I supposed to spend so much time on my phone?
Mm-hmm.
Am I supposed to spend so much time on my tablet? Am I supposed to spend so much time on my computer? Maybe I need to spend more time at dinner with my family.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of flipping through my messages, I need to make eye contact with them and talk with them. You know, those types of things.
Actually have some human contact.
Actually have some human contact. I mean, if, you know, so it is a real challenge that we face in our culture. That human interaction is being replaced by a lot of machine, mechanical things. You know, texting is great. What do people say? You know, it's so easy because I don't have to get in a conversation with this other person.
Well, sometimes I like that too.
And sometimes I like that too. But the reality is we can tend to start to move towards that because I don't have time for that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when do we have time for it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question where you get into how much human contact do I have? How much relationship am I building with this other person? Because when you think about it, as we talked about the covenant last week, it's all about relationship. It's all about building relationship with God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's about building relationships with our brothers and sisters in the Lord because we're all baptized into Christ.
Mm-hmm.
We're all brothers and sisters in the Lord. And if we don't treat each other in some sense of a semblance of being a family, then when do we realize that God has adopted us as sons and daughters?
Wow, that's awesome. Well put.
Woo!
This is an awesome
song. This is an awesome song.
Remember, check out GiveTheGraceMinistries.org. I want to listen to this first.
Forever they can. Meanwhile, hold on, but I'm a You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Do we have to do more show, or can we just listen to that song?
Yeah, I was just going to say, that's one of those songs that you just want to keep on singing and going.
I want to do a show about that, a whole show about that song someday.
We should.
There's so much in that song. Woo. Anyway, remember, go to WilburnMinistries.com and just buy some stuff.
Two or three of everything.
Yeah.
How to do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Just buy one
Tell
CD.
Tell Paul we said hello.
If you just buy one CD, then you'll go back and buy the other ones anyway, so you might as well get them all at once. Anyway.
Just take out a small personal loan.
Wilbur Ministries gets free advertising on this show. Anyway, the other thing that's interesting about this passage is, you know, when you look through the scriptures, in all of these early accounts, in all of the gospel, well, Matthew and Luke are really the only ones that have these accounts.
Yep.
But Joseph never says anything in the scripture.
That's true.
There's not like a single word that he says. I mean, Mary says something, you know, Mary says a few things.
Right.
And Joseph never says anything. So it's never quoted what Joseph's actually thinking or saying, but he gets information in these dreams.
Yeah.
Which is pretty neat. In this case, he doesn't know that there's danger going on. He doesn't know anything about what Herod's thinking. He doesn't know Herod personally. I don't think anybody's come by and said, hey, Herod wants to kill your baby.
Right.
He doesn't really know anything that's going on.
But the Holy Spirit tells him.
He couldn't have known, if he didn't know what was happening, he couldn't have made a plan to how he's going to escape.
Right.
He has no idea what's coming. So he has a dream. Now, he had a dream with angels before,
mm-hmm.
because when you put yourself in his position, he's engaged to this young woman who then tells him that she's pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
His reaction is, well, I know that's not my baby.
Right.
So I got to get out of this. I love her a lot and she's really great and I don't want her exposed to the law and the ridicule and the danger of that. So I got to figure out a way I can get rid of her without her being, I mean, this is what he's thinking.
Right. Cause Mary really could be put to death.
That's right.
Yeah.
But when the angel says, hey, don't worry about taking Mary as your wife because this baby is from God.
Right.
You know, you have a dream like that.
He's obedient to that.
That's right. In a dream.
Yeah. I mean, that, you know, humanly speaking, any one of us we'd have to really struggle with that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, anyone who puts themselves in that position, I mean, if you're a man and you put yourself in that position and your fiance says, oh, by the way, I'm pregnant and this angel came and told me and, you'd be like, what?
Yeah.
What do you mean? First thing would be, what do you mean you're pregnant?
Right.
But
right.
Not to mention her family, his family. It would have been chaos.
Well, as you really look at it and you're talking about this and you just look at it in, you know, just purely human terms of what exactly took place. You know, what would the conversation be around the dinner table with the family?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we tend to purify stuff and, you know, clean it all up and go, oh, this is great. This was, you know,
like in the artwork.
Yeah. Yeah. And we lose the reality of the human struggle with what's taking place.
Mm-hmm.
God's intervening. Because he's being faithful to his covenant.
Exactly.
He's intervening in human history because he's faithful to, God cannot deny himself. He's faithful to his covenant and his word. And he's going to send a savior because he knows that that's the only way that we can be saved from the fall of Adam and Eve
mm-hmm.
into sin. So it's God's action that does this.
Mm-hmm.
But he works through human beings, his creatures
mm-hmm.
that he's created to bring this into fulfillment.
Excellent point.
And, you know, as imperfect as human beings are, he chooses to use us.
Yes.
And a lot of, you know, we really have to be, you know, that's why we're called to be humble servants, because if we're full of pride and arrogance, we're not going to get, chances are we're not going to get too far walking with God and following the path that he has made for us.
We don't know much about Joseph, but
We
know he's a poor guy. He's a carpenter. He's working. He lives in a little town.
Yeah.
He seems like a faithful, hardworking, moral,
righteous man.
Yep. Yeah. And he's confronted by all these things. Now, he probably never had too many dreams about angels before this.
None that we know of.
Yeah. I mean, we don't. Yeah. And so now he's in a different position because now, as I was saying before, the kingdom is here now. He's like at the front line of it because now he has the baby Messiah that he's responsible for.
Right.
And is responsible to the Messiah's mother.
Right.
So he's in a position where he's now intimately involved in the plan of salvation.
Yeah.
Because salvation is there in front of him. I mean, he probably never changed diapers because men didn't do it in those days, but he saw diapers being changed and a baby being fed. And this is the Messiah. And he's charged with protecting the Messiah and his mother.
Right.
And so he's totally involved now in the kingdom and the plan of salvation breaking in. So now he has communication with heavenly beings, you know, at least a couple of times here.
Right. Who are telling him very important information that you need to get up now.
Yeah.
Take the child and his mother and leave. Go to Egypt because the child's life is in danger.
Yeah.
You know, that's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how God works because God wants his, God's going to fulfill his plan because he's all sovereign.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's no mystery to God what Herod's planning to do.
No, it's not catching him off guard at all.
Yeah. And you know, the enemies of the kingdom are always at work like this. I mean, it's at work now. Enemies are planning to take you down if you get too involved.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. If you're sitting in the back pew of a church and you're yawning and stretching and going, when is this guy going to ever stop talking? You know, there's no demons going to mess with you
because
you're no threat.
They got you right where they want you.
But if you're up in the front doing all the things, or you're the music minister and you're the this and the that and the attacks are going to come because now you're impacting people and the enemy wants you not to impact people.
The enemy wants to throw you off course. The enemy wants to neutralize you, take you down, and throw you off course. And you bring up a good point. You know, you do a lot of Bible studies. I do a lot of music ministry. You know, there's always things that take place that, as a disciple of the Lord, we have to come to understand that that's going to be part of our life. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
But that's what God calls us to, and God will give us the grace to move through those things if we stay close to him.
That's right.
And follow his path.
That's right. So Herod's plan, you know, no mystery to God. So the angel comes to tell Joseph, hey, there's a plan here against you, against this baby, against Messiah, against the kingdom, and tells him what the plan of escape is. So he, you know, this is why you always say, you know, if you try to fight the enemy on your own, you're a guaranteed casualty.
Yeah. And the angel tells him specifically, stay there until I tell you. Don't think about coming back early.
Yeah.
Stay there until I tell you. You know, when else does this happen in scripture?
Yep.
Stay here and wait for the promise of the Father.
Yep.
Don't leave Jerusalem on your own. Because it's not going to go good for you if you do.
That's right. If you do your own plan.
You got that, Peter?
That's right. And there's this danger. There's this attack. There's this struggling very early on. I mean, Messiah's just been born.
Right.
It's going to be, you know, 29 and a half more years before he starts doing his ministry, before he starts preaching.
Right.
But there's already danger. There's already a struggle that's ensued. And even though he's Messiah, he's been sanctified from the womb, he's been presented, he's done all these things. Now there's attack because the enemy knows what this is. Mm-hmm. Doesn't know all the details, but knows who this is and knows that this is not going to be good for the enemy.
Right.
So the attack is on. And the same thing happened with the body of Christ, the church. In early days of the church, there was persecution at every turn in right. every land.
Right.
Because the enemy says, hey, there's that group of people over there that are doing this. You got to get rid of these guys.
Yep.
Whether it was the Romans or whether it was the whoever it was are going to persecute the church. You had cruelty. Look at even back in the beginning of the book of Exodus. Kill all the Hebrew boys.
Mm-hmm.
Pharaoh, there's a these people are a threat to us. You got to kill all the boys.
Yep.
You know, Herod, there's a boy somewhere here that's a threat to me. Mm-hmm. So we got to kill all the boys.
Yeah.
This, you know, it's kind of the same plan.
Yeah.
It's the same plan over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
So the angel comes to tell Joseph there's danger, tells him the plan is to escape to Egypt.
Right. And you know, it's an example, I think, to all of us, whether you're a believer or a non-believer, of the reality of just a daily life of, you know, this is, how do I want to say this? Sometimes we can tend to really, as believers, purify things
mm-hmm.
and think that, you know, the Holy Family was just perfect and holy, and not that they weren't, you know, good people, but they didn't have any problems,
right.
No struggles, no strife.
Right.
Hey, this is great.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the picture that Scripture gives us because mm-hmm. it's not the reality.
That's right.
And it's not the reality that we have as believers walking on the path with God either.
Mm-hmm.
It's not perfect. It's not always pleasant, but it can be very fruitful to, you know, because we're called to bear fruit for the kingdom. We're called to bear a 30, 60, 100-fold yield
mm-hmm.
for God's kingdom. It's not about, am I comfortable?
Mm-hmm.
It's about, am I faithful?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you brought up a good point earlier about people in all our imperfections being used for the kingdom. Mm-hmm. So now this guy, Joseph, who's a faithful guy, who's a kind of a normal guy, his mission at this point is to protect the Messiah
yeah.
from danger.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty amazing.
Right. I mean, think about that. Jesus is fully human and fully divine.
Yeah.
It's just amazing that God made it this way, that human beings, Joseph and Mary, had to see for the safety of the Christ child.
That's right. Divine Jesus from his crib could have ended Herod's life.
Right.
But Joseph has to do it.
Yeah.
Just like the angel didn't tell Cornelius the gospel, he had to send for Peter.
I mean, the God of the universe who speaks and creates life.
Yeah.
Could speak and take care of all this, but because there was a need to save people from their sins, this is the way it had to be done.
Exactly. And the baby had to be protected. And, you know, there's many times you could read in the Gospels where adult Jesus, people pick up stones to stone him. Or mm-hmm. at Nazareth, they're going to throw him over the precipice. But he just walks through him.
Through them,
because
yeah.
his time hasn't come yet.
Yep.
You know, this is not the time. This is not the Messiah's time to die when he's a little baby.
Yeah. Kind of reminds me of Cancun.
Yeah, that's right.
It's not your time to go.
That's right. It's not your time to go.
Got stuff for you to do yet.
So the human parents have to be involved in protecting him.
Mm-hmm.
And this plan to go to Egypt of all places. If you go to, well, every year you have a holiday about this, Passover.
Yes, we do.
Deliverance from Egypt. If you go to any synagogue on any Saturday morning, you hear so much about being delivered from Egypt. You say, wow, you know, God doesn't like Egypt very much, does he? You know, an Egyptian friend of mine who, is a Christian, so we have a lot of good Egyptian jokes back and forth. You know, he came to one of my seders, and I said, now, I just want to warn you that we're going to say bad things about Egyptians. And he said, oh, that's okay. We do it too. Yeah, I was. I had the only Seder that year with my own Egyptian.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we pretended he was Pharaoh. And so, you know, in God's sovereignty, he can use a terrible place and make something good out of it. Mm-hmm. He can use a terrible situation, make something good out of it. Everything can be redeemed. I mean, look at what we've been through. All our horrible sins, all our horrible rebellions, all our horrible failures.
Yeah.
I mean, that can all be redeemed and can be used.
Yeah.
Because either it strengthens you, makes you understand yourself better, makes you understand your spiritual life better. Any situation can be used. So Egypt is this place of idolatry and slavery and persecution, and they killed Hebrew babies. Now somebody wants to kill these babies.
Yeah.
And this baby's taken back to that land. I mean, what did Mary and Joseph think about that? What do you mean we're going to Egypt?
Yeah.
All our life we've read spiritual accounts about how we got delivered from Egypt.
And now we're going back?
Yeah.
Yeah. It, you know, sometimes God calls us into a place that we, you know, we're not always going to understand, okay, God, why am I going here?
Yeah.
But to be faithful and listen to God, I go there out of obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, this is a great lesson for us spiritually about following God and not fully understanding the whole plan, because God doesn't always give us the whole plan. And it's
exactly
it's something that a lot of people that are searching and struggling with their spiritual life, we have to understand that God's calling us to trust Him. And in order to trust, we have to put one foot out and start walking, even though we don't know where our next step is going to land.
Mm-hmm.
That's not easy to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fun to do.
We have to walk by faith and not by sight.
Exactly. We walk by faith and not by sight. We don't walk by emotions or feelings.
Mm-hmm.
We walk by faith in obedience to God, to trust that God is going to protect me, God will deliver me, and God will sovereignly carry me through what He's asking me to do. And when I've served Him faithfully and it's time to call me home,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what really our lives are called to be as Christian, as disciples of Christ.
Yeah.
Jesus was obedient to the Father.
Mm-hmm. Obedient unto death.
Obedient unto death. Mm-hmm. No disciple is greater than his master.
Mm-hmm. And I think too, you know, I tell people this all the time. It may not be till you are in heaven that you realize why certain things happened to you.
Most likely, yeah.
Why things went this way rather than that way. Why something that you thought was a terrible thing that happened to you actually was a really good thing that happened to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not understand that until you're in heaven. And then you may say, oh, now I know why that happened. Now I know why God used that situation the way He did.
Yeah.
And so He went to Egypt. He didn't tell him to go to Lebanon. He didn't tell him to go to Syria. He didn't tell him to go to Arabia. He told him to go to Egypt.
Yeah.
And, you know, what were Mary and Joseph thinking? And the other thing that comes to mind is a little while ago, they heard some guy say, this is the glory of Israel and the light to the Gentiles. And now all of a sudden they got to run away.
Yeah, they're fleeing for their lives.
So,
yeah.
Wait a minute.
What happened to
I thought everything was going to be okay now. And now we're running to Egypt.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't even know how to get to Egypt. No.
Right.
We'll have to break already. Remember, check out GiveToGraceMinistries.org. We'll be right back.
Worship. as the angel voices were. Fragrant clouds of incense swirl around your throne of grace. Lord, we bow in worship at the brilliance of your face. We cry, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord.
Listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.
Well, welcome back to The Gift of Grace on The Word 1220. Whew. So,
awesome song.
Glory of Israel, light to the nations, and now they're running for their lives. They're running for protection.
Yeah.
You know, Mary had been told by Gabriel that this is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. This is the Holy One. And now they're running away. I mean, running certainly for his life. Maybe even for their own, who knows? Like, why doesn't God just strike Herod dead?
Yeah.
Why does he send an angel and just neutralize him? That, you know, yeah. They're also being tested. They're also going through a time of maturing and disciplining and, you know, being formed. And they obey in faith. You know, they don't yeah. question. Joseph doesn't say, listen, wait, angel, wait a minute. Wait a minute. First of all, why is this happening? Second of all, we don't want to go to Egypt. Can't we just go back to Nazareth?
You know why Joseph didn't do that?
Right.
Because he knew what happened to Zechariah.
Yeah, so they didn't question this. They just went along with what the plan was. They didn't see any miraculous signs of protection around them. They didn't see any plan, miraculous plan that was going to like protect them where they were. They went along with the plan that they were told. And it's actually quite an ordinary thing. They're going to travel to another place. In other words, they're going to make a getaway. It's like most people would do.
Right. Well, when you think about how the birth of Messiah was announced by angels to shepherds, the shepherds come and they tell Mary and Joseph about what they saw in the fields.
Yeah.
An angel comes to Mary and announces that she's going to be the mother. She's going to bear the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's these angelic beings that are presenting this and speaking about this and proclaiming this, but yet for them going to Egypt, there's none of these type of supernatural provisions other than the dream that Joseph has.
That's right.
And, you know, you bring up an excellent point. Gosh, couldn't God have just sent an angel there and protected them and said, okay, Gabriel certainly could have took care of those.
Oh, yeah. Herod would be small potatoes for Gabriel.
But yet, as you said, they're being obedient. They're being faithful.
Yeah.
And they're obeying
God's
asking.
Faith.
Yeah.
And Joseph proves that he's a capable protector.
Right.
He takes this seriously. He's a man of faith. You know, the scripture tells us that Abraham believed and it was counted as righteousness. Abraham obeyed and it was counted as righteousness. You know, Joseph says, okay, if that's the plan, I'm going to protect the baby. I'm going to protect his mother. This was a great responsibility, but he did it.
Right.
They got shown the way to Egypt. They were provided for.
Right.
Now, I don't know if they had the wise man's gold, but God protected them and gave them provision while they're there. We don't even know how long they were in Egypt.
Right.
I mean, there's some period of time. They get put on the right road, and the angel says, I'm going to let you know when the danger is past. He doesn't tell them, well, you're going to be there for 2 weeks. You're going to be there for a month and a half. He says, I'm going to tell you when the danger is past. Don't go and make your own plan. When you get there, after a while, you're going to find out what you're supposed to do. It's not for you to make the plan. I'll let you know when it's safe to go back.
Yeah. And the angel does that.
Yeah. And interestingly, too, Jesus, Yeshua, Messiah, is separated from his people for a while. Just like, you know, he actually was later.
Yeah.
You know, he's taken out of the land and goes to a strange place.
Yeah.
Goes to like an unclean Gentile place for a little while.
I mean, you know, that right there, how did Joseph and Mary worship?
Yeah, I don't know.
There wasn't a temple in Egypt.
No.
How did they?
They couldn't have done the sacrifices. They couldn't observe the feast days.
Right.
But
because they weren't supposed to come back. So for that time that they were in Egypt, they did not come to Jerusalem for any of the feast days.
That's right.
As were prescribed.
Yeah.
Year after year.
Yeah. So, you know, he's exiled. So Jesus is essentially exiled from the earthly Canaan.
Yeah.
You know, we're exiled from the heavenly Canaan. You know, the book of Hebrews, which is awesome. Maybe we should do a whole series on the book of Hebrews. Oh, man. It would take like 2 years. But, you know, it talks about the Sabbath as a time of rest. Going to the land was a time of rest. Mm-hmm. And us going to heaven, that's like our Sabbath. That's like our promised land.
Yeah.
But we're kept out of heaven because of our sin. We're kept out of the heavenly Canaan if we don't repent of our sins and turn to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus is taken out of the earthly Canaan, but that's okay. He can handle that.
Yeah.
But if we're kept out of the heavenly Canaan, we're in big trouble.
Well, yeah. Yeah, if we're out of the heavenly Canaan, yeah, we're...
Yeah, and it doesn't matter what else you do in your life. If you lose that...
You've lost everything.
It doesn't matter how many billions of dollars you make, how famous you are. Mm-hmm. If you don't get into the heavenly Canaan, all that was for nothing.
Yeah.
But Joseph doesn't care about rich man stuff. He's obedient. It says he goes during the night. He, in fact, wakes them up and says, we got to go.
Mm-hmm.
He goes right then. He doesn't wait till morning. He doesn't wait to go to AAA to get a trip, whatever it's called, roadmap and stuff. He goes the same night that he has the dream. He's like Abraham. You know, when God calls Abraham, he says, get up and go to a land I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
So in English, we read, get up and go to a land I'm going to show you. In the Hebrew, it means, come on, get up now and go. There's no waiting around. You're not going to go in 6 months. You're going to go right now.
Mm-hmm.
Get your stuff and let's go. Pack a suitcase and let's go. Put a couple of robes in the suitcase and you're out of here. It's right away. So just like Abraham, Joseph obeys. And just like Abraham, he doesn't even know where he's going. Abraham hears a voice and says, I'm going to take you to a land I'm going to show you.
Hmm.
So he follows the voice to someplace he doesn't even know where he's going.
Yeah.
Joseph obeys just like Abraham did and doesn't really know where he's going, but he's provided for.
Yeah.
Woo. Oh, man, I got more stuff.
Awesome.
Anyway, hope you had an awesome Lord's Day.
And we pray that you would prayerfully listen to the voice of God and follow that call to where God is calling you, even though you might not know the path or the direction, but to faithfully follow God's voice that will lead you into all righteousness and all truth. God bless everyone. Have a great week. You've been listening to The Gift of Grace with Phil Giliotti and Stephen Garchar. Phil and Steve will be back next week when they will once again teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Thanks and God bless.